business, consistently thinking about how they might do things differently. Again, I was talking in the previous segment about our telephone people. They, on their own, for example, started to monitor cellular bills in the agency, taking the top 100 phones each month just to try to understand how they could help the customer perhaps drive their bills down. And this was all done on their own. Why do they do that? Because I think that they have a better sense, a better linkage with the customer, but more importantly, because they feel they actually have the authority, the power to do those, to make those decisions. So I think that what we're seeing is that people are finding novelty, they're finding meaning, they're understanding that they're having impact, and I think that these are very important elements in making a workforce content, making a workforce really feel that they are needed and they are valued. It's not just salary. Today, the government, I hear this over and over and over, the government doesn't compete well if you're looking at salaries compared to the private sector. At the agency, we have a tremendous workforce, a very, very good workforce. And I think what they are looking is to add value to what the mission of the agency is. I believe the way that we are trying to organize them today allows them to feel that they are really adding that value.
Dick, what kind of changes have you wanted to make in the way employees at the CIA are hired, retained, rewarded, and developed?
Let me just, if I can take one little quick diversion here. A lot of people talk to me about job security being an organization that will offer you a job for life. I think in the world that we live in today, any organization that offers that claim has to be suspect, even at an organization like CIA. To me, an organization that really offers you job security is an organization that if you choose to leave tomorrow, you can walk across the street and feel assured that you can get another job commanding a salary that is commensurate with whatever you were making when you left, or maybe even at a higher level. In other words, keeping people so that their skills are marketable, so that they're marketable, so that they feel like they are constantly performing at the top edge of their business. That's really what we are. That's how you retain people, I think, in the agency. And I think that's how you retain people in any organization, but that's how we are trying to do this at CIA, is giving people opportunity, making sure that they have the skills that they need to do the job that is required, making sure that we give them opportunity to train and develop new skills, making sure that we are using them in a team format, making sure that we reward and recognize them when they add significant value. It is all of those issues. It's not just a simple training program or a sheep dipping in some new technology that allegedly makes them more capable. It is really having them feel that they have an impact and making sure that we give them the opportunities to continue to expand their own skill base and do that regularly. And that's what we're doing at the agency.
Are you worried about attracting young people or new people into the organization?
No. In fact, we have a major recruitment campaign we have had and have had for the last couple of years. Again, the director, George Tenet, has really made this centerpiece of his strategic direction. He wants to bring the right people into the organization. And quite honestly, part of it may be just a simple brand name at CIA, the attraction of what that might represent. But I think that gets them in the door. What really keeps them there is the wonderful mission that the agency has, the elan of the organization, and our capability of really challenging people to perform at levels that they probably surprises them.
And is that true for technology people? I think what we notice from talking to a lot of people in the federal government that it's particularly difficult to hire technology people. You mentioned it earlier, the dot-com environment. And is that also true for?
It's true that we can attract, people that have excellent skills in the technology areas. We do it both in scientific area and the technical areas. And we do retain them. I would say that we probably attrit some people to the private sector. Frequently, we will get people trained up in certain technologies and only to find the company that trained them to come along and perhaps turn their head. But I would say in the main, we are as good as any other government agency at being able to give people the types of jobs that are so attractive to them, putting them in teams that they feel so committed to that they are quite willing to turn their head at an offer that might exceed the salary they are making today because of the satisfaction they are getting because of the work they are doing.
Dick, coming from operations, you knew your customer well. You were your customer. How do you get those folks to become more cost-conscious and efficient?
I wish I had a silver bullet that I could talk about here. I really think the issue here is the incentives. If you're going to ask people to think more critically about how they do something, there has to be something in it for them. And one of the things we have tried to do through having an internal market in CIA is to make sure that those people who are making smarter decisions, those people who sit down and do that cost-benefit analysis, those people who think through how they want to use our services and as a result affect the savings, that those people are able to benefit from those savings. And the agency, I think, has been very forward-leaning on this. I know the comptroller and others have made sure that we have set our systems up such that those people who are making the right decisions are benefiting from those decisions. And I think it's the incentives that are more than exhortations, more than promises. It is seeing the benefit from the incentive that really does make a difference.
Do those internal customers resist change when you presented it to them?
You know, this whole effort, yes, as I said, I think before, change has no constituency. So there has been some resistance. You know, everybody today is from Missouri. Everybody says, yeah, I hear it all, but you got to show me. So it has taken some time to convince some of our customers that we are serious and that there are benefits to be had from using this internal market. Not everybody's on board. We still have some work to do. I really believe that what we're involved in is not a mile race, it's a marathon. We're only several miles into it. This is going to take some time. This is about changing cultures. A whole variety of issues are involved here. But I think over time, if we can be consistent in the quality of the services that we deliver, and if the customers can come to recognize and trust in the way we are running these internal markets, I think more and more will sign up to the benefits of them, and more will really engage in this change process.
Well, you just mentioned it takes time. How long does it take if someone were to undergo the kind of changes you've just talked about? Costing, internal markets, and incentives?
I've been at it now for 50-plus months, and as I said, I don't think I'm at the halfway point in this marathon. I think it takes organizations a significant amount of time to get there. One of the things I think that is needed, and unfortunately in many organizations, it's very difficult to get, and that's a persistence of leadership on these issues. I have been fortunate. I have had the backing of my director in what I have been doing. I have been around for over 4 years.